Good vach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and this is the last Dvar Torah I'm going to share with you this year. That's right, 5784. Believe it or not, it has been an interesting year. A lot of good, some not so good, but obviously everything is, you know, good in the eyes of, or through everything that happens is ultimately through Hashem. So everything is ultimately for the good, whether we can see it or not. This week's Dvar Torah is sponsored Ilui Nishmat Yitzchak Ben Yisrael Yosef HaKohen. May his neshama have an aliyah. All right, there are two parshiot to talk about. That's right, we have Netzavim and Vayelech, and we are going to then get Hazinu next week, right after Rosh Hashanah. So I will not see you next Thursday night, obviously, because, well, maybe I will, actually. No, I can't. It'll actually be Mamash Rosh Hashanah Thursday night, second day of Rosh Hashanah. So I will not see you, but I wish you all a Gemara Chesivah Tova, or Chesivah Chesivah Tova, rather. But, you know, if you're maybe you're also deacon, so you will be a Gemara Chesivah Tova. Anyway, let's get started, shall we? Towards the end of this week's first parsha, which is Netzavim, the Torah writes the words, Ki karov eilecha hadavar me'od, v'ficha ulevavcha lasoto. For this matter, meaning the words of the Torah, is very close to you, in your mouth and in your heart to do this. On the surface, it seems understandable that one should speak words of Torah, one should internalize the words of Torah in one's heart. But why specifically are these two modes mentioned, right? Mouth, heart. Okay, so speaking and internalizing. We should also listen to the Torah and safeguard it, but it doesn't mention your ear or actions, which involve your hand. We should also see through a lens of Torah, so it could also mention your eyes. So there are five possible ways of interacting, but it only mentions two. It's therefore clear that the Torah wishes to illustrate a very specific point, but is actually debated amongst the Mefarshim what precisely that point is. Now, the Sforno states that this is actually not referring to simply Divrei Torah, but actually Teshuvah. In fact, many, many things in Parshat Netzavim correspond to Teshuvah, and many of the things which are, quote-unquote, not far away, Lo B'Shamayim, all of these things like that, are actually, again, there's a debate whether or not that's referring to Talmud Torah, Teshuvah, or both. But either way, there's definitely a lot of Ramaz, and there's a lot of hints, a lot of ideas. Some are less than hints, some of them are more explicit, of Teshuvah. And obviously, it's very appropriate in this Parsha. It always comes out either right before or right after Rosh Hashanah. And obviously, that's also shortly before Yom Kippur. So it's very appropriate. We're finishing up Elul right now. We're about to start Slichot. It's very important to keep Teshuvah on our minds. Now, the Sforno states that this term, your heart, uvavcha, is a reference to regret. That in order to do teshuva, you must have charata, you must regret what you've done. Then you utter vidoy with your mouth, you must confess the sin and do your best not to do it again. Now, while this definitely seems a fit, it doesn't explain why the Torah first used the words beficha, your mouth, and then your heart. Because according to his explanation, you understand why you would have those two, but it should theoretically be in the other order. It should be reversed. So the Ibn Ezra gives a slightly different answer, but it ultimately gives the same problem, that it's reversed, which, again, it's a partial answer, but it's not perfect, right? He states that the mouth helps bring out that which is in the heart, which, again, should imply that the heart should come first. The third commentary, which perhaps can shed a little more light on this, gives a lengthier explanation. That's HaKtav HaKabbalah, and he partially, at least partially, resolves this issue. He says, when words are said, being said to somebody in the capacity of teaching, or, you know, whether you're just simply just uttering them out loud, whether even if it's not directed at somebody, you can hear what you're saying, assuming you have that capability, right? But most people, they can hear what they're saying. And when you hear what you're saying, you can then internalize them in your heart. Again, it says in the pasuk, beficha, first your mouth, and then your heart. You will hear that which what you utter, whether it's to somebody else or just out loud, and then you will actually pay attention to what you said, hopefully, and internalize it in your heart. The Hamak Adavar also explains in a similar idea that when somebody says something and again, it becomes familiar, right? He becomes used to it, and he internalizes that which he is saying. It's more easily understood in his heart. That's why people, when they learn, many people will vocalize it or say out loud what they're learning to help them process the content on a deeper level and be able to memorize it and understand it better. He explains that this is more effective when these words are actually sung, which is why there's often kind of like a sing-songy tune. In fact, the Mishnayos, which had to originally be memorized, were actually done in a song or a melody of some sort. Now, songs allow words to better be remembered and penetrate more effectively into one's heart, you know, which is an idea. We have the Shira coming up in Parshat HaZinu next, and while we don't necessarily sing it per se, we do lean it in a particular way, but it is possible that when Moshe Rabbeinu initially uttered it to Klal Yisrael, it was done in more of a song, since it is in fact called the Shira, although the term song or the term Shira means more than just simply a melody. But anyway, it is very, very important to have times that we want to connect the most strongly, right? Whether it's Shabbos, Yom Tovim, or certainly we have some amazing, amazing melodies on Yom Kippur. Now, the HaMikdavar continues to explain that song facilitates an expression of love, and this also deepens the understanding of the words of Torah by using the song and the power of Shira. And that it allows, and especially if this is coupled with the fact that you are loving what you are learning, allows you to connect to Hashem on a deeper level. So now we're approaching the peaks of Yom Neraim. We're finally finishing up Elul, and we're starting to, many of us, unless you're Sephardi, are starting to finally connect to it. We had a whole month to do so, myself included, unfortunately. I listened to a few things here and there, but it is kind of hard to tap into it until it starts getting really close. So we're now starting to say Slichos. Again, if you haven't already, we're starting to really think about, oh, we have less than a week to Rosh Hashanah. That means Yom Kippur and all these things that are involved with it, the Sefer Teshuvah. We need awe, we need reverence, but the Zohar explains that in order to truly serve Hashem on a high level, we have to have some element of Ahava. We want to fear Hashem on some level, but we really want it to be out of awe, but we must have, really should have, some element of love, a love that is connected to awe and wonder, which is something we really want to tap into on these days, especially when we're focusing more so on our connection than on ourselves, on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day we recognize Hashem as our King and our Father, which should be a very deep and powerful connection. Let me explain a little other things. So last week, if you were with me last week, I also talked about the concepts of comings and goings, right? We had Kitavo and Kitetze, right? Which you said bring in, take out, or going out. Now, Vayelech is also a going, and that's after Nitzavim, which is standing, which is something, again, I mentioned last week. So we have standing and going, which is going from, no pun intended, right, being stationary to being in movement. And Vayelech is actually the shortest parsha in the Torah, but it actually has many, many things in it. Now, in the second pasuk of Parsha Vayelech, Moshe states, I am 120 years today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. Something which I had mentioned last week. It's not a function of old age, but rather Moshe's inability to leave the Midbar to come to Endor. It's not his inability in an old age sense, but the fact that Hashem won't let him. And obviously, there's many, many farshim that go into many details on this. But as I explained last week, we have Kitetze, Kitavo, and Sub Vayelech, leaving, entering, standing, going. There's different ways to look at this. One is when you're going into an area, there's a place, a building, first exit, you arrive, you go in. Seems pretty straightforward. Also, when you're traveling, first you're stationary, then you go. It's all about movement and different, standing, moving. Okay, we get it. But there's a deeper way to look at it. When one leaves a circumstance in your life, you finish going through something, positive or negative, you enter another circumstance. There are always events and surroundings around you. And unless you're a hermit, we don't live in a vacuum. Every time, sometimes once a day, sometimes once a week, sometimes once a month, once a year, whatever, we're always surrounded by new sets of circumstances. And when you're in those circumstances, you at least temporarily have to stand or dwell there. But the purpose of life, of course, is to grow. Hashem doesn't want us to be Nitzavim for standing for a long time. That we have to be Vayelech, we must move forward, right? Now, sometimes we need to stand for a little bit. We need to stay and process and think about and contemplate our surroundings, but we don't want to get stuck there. So we need to move on to the next phase of our lives. For a whole year, we were busy coming, going, leaving, standing, entering, everything we're doing. But now in Rosh Hashanah, we now have to stop and stand before God. We stand before Hashem at our King of Judgment. And then after Rosh Hashanah, certainly after Yom Kippur, we can move forward. Right? Yom Kippur allows us to stand in a certain sense in more judgment and stand and reflect upon what we said. But even from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, there is obviously some movement. The goal is teshuva, but the goal is not to focus on the past, but rather to overcome it and move forward. We want to leave the errors behind and venture into new areas. We may mess up again. We may encounter new circumstances, and we may err in different ways. But we want to keep moving. It is important that we keep moving. We fall, we get back up again. Sometimes we have to stand firm so that we stop and steady our feet. And then we can put one foot in front of the other and move forward at a proper pace. Shana literally means also to change, even though it can also mean to repeat. We want to change and be more effective. Where did we come from last year? Where are we going? We want to be able to keep a steady pace. Sometimes that means we need to stop, we need Sabim, and then we can reset ourselves on the proper path to keep ourselves going and keep ourselves moving. So wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom and a Diva Bechasima Tova. See you in 2 weeks.